Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the lovely Jenny Hubby.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, everybody.
Okay, is it warming up, or it seems like winter will just not let go in 2018?
In Texas, in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I didn't know whether to wear sandals or boots today, so... Yeah.
Because it'll switch on you.
Right.
Warm and then tease you again and get back down to 30 before nightfall. So
it's so complicated.
All right. Well, Jenny, we have a special guest with us today, and we'll let you introduce our guest.
We do. And Brian, I need to know how to pronounce your name, your last name.
That's a great question. It's like bagel with a D. It's pronounced bagel.
Okay. I thought so. It has an emphasis in there, and so it might be French. So I realized just as I was about to introduce you, how to pronounce the last name. So I'm excited to introduce Brian Daigle. Brian and I met in coaching class and coach training, and I was very impressed with Brian because of his successful business experience and then his passion around spirituality. And as he'll talk about, those two in our culture can be very difficult to intermingle into our lives. And that's one of the questions that Brian asks in his bio is, why is it so difficult to be both successful and happy? And so I can't wait to talk to you about that, Brian. So Brian is based in Austin, and he'll talk more about himself, and I just can't wait to hear about your journey. So maybe we start with what brought you into coaching and kind of take it from there. So welcome to the show, Brian.
Well, thank you, Jenny, and thank you, Bruce, for having me on. What got me into coaching? You want the short version or the long version?
We'll start with the short, and I'm sure we'll ask a lot of questions and make it long.
Yeah, it's been a journey, as I imagine it has been for a lot of people. It started really probably when I was in business school, and I was getting my MBA, and we read this book called The Dream Manager, and it was about this company that basically brought in a life coach, what they call the Dream Manager, to help employees achieve their dreams, so whether it was buying a house or sending their kids to college or whatever people's dreams are. And that was actually the first time I ever heard of a life coach. And I actually ran with that idea. And then after I finished school, I implemented the Dream Manager concept into my business. So I hired a life coach and paid for my employees to see a life coach, and I also saw her as well. And that was how I got introduced to life coaching, and that was, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 years ago. And from there, I worked with her, and she really helped me develop my emotional awareness and communication, and both in my relationship with my wife at the time and also with employees. And then in 2013, I was 33, so it was my Jesus year, I had some experiences which my view of the world and the way things worked couldn't explain. And it was experiences both, I was seeing people doing things, but also experiencing things and having insights that I hadn't had before. And so I took a sabbatical from my company just to kind of take a step back and figure out what the heck was going on. And during this time, I never you know, I was raised Catholic, but had never really been religious and had never really been spiritual, had played with meditation and other things here and there. But during that time, there was an intense period for over a year where I was just consuming, just reading and watching and learning and growing and open to any and all new experiences that would kind of help me figure out what was going on and get the ground beneath my feet again. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I definitely had a lot of help along the way and got to experience a bunch of new and incredible tools. During that time, I trained to become a Reiki master and I was talking to psychics and was just doing everything I can to figure things out. And so that I kind of let that process integrate because that was a very intense process. And I let that process integrate and kind of was able to find my footing and return to my business and also started another business during that time too. But I kind of felt like with all this new information and new view of the world, what I was doing before wasn't all that exciting to me. So I kind of had to find a new purpose, and that was several years in the process of just trying to find, you know, something that could use my background in starting companies. And I'd started this successful 4-hour work week business, and also my interest in metaphysics and spirituality, and trying to find something that combined those two, which there aren't that many avenues for that.
Right.
And really it was a conversation I had with my sister. She was talking about getting training for life coaching. And I said, you know, it really impacted my life. Maybe I should look into that. I hadn't even been a thought before. And then I was reading Elon Musk's biography, and he has a vision to raise human consciousness. And I was like, oh, I love that vision. You know, I used to have big visions. I want a big vision again. And so I just took his vision because I loved it so much. And was like, okay, now I can help raise human consciousness. What's the best way to do that? And I started looking into coaching programs and there was one starting the next day that really interested me, specifically of a spiritual nature. And I signed up, and that's how I fell into coaching.
And that's how we met. I remember that. And I remember how natural you were at coaching. And it seemed to me that it had so much to do with your professional experience, your success, and also you're seeking, like you said, you were looking for experiences to answer some of the questions that you had for yourself and life in general, it sounded like. And so it just gave you such a curiosity, which is a great characteristic to have as a coach, right? It's what we do.
Exactly. You have to be curious. And yeah. I was very fortunate because I had, you know, had employees and I had used kind of coaching techniques with them for their employee reviews. So I would bring them in the office and ask them coaching type questions. And so I had luckily some training with that. And actually at the time I didn't realize it, but when I was coaching my employees, and I would help them realize something great about themselves, I would get goosebumps. And it was only years later that I realized, my subconscious body was communicating that I should, that I really
wow. loved. That was, and so you were already connecting with your purpose and didn't necessarily
exactly.
know that.
Yeah. I wasn't doing it from my professional standpoint. I was doing it just, you know, within my business.
Mm-hmm. Just to help them. So now you work with young entrepreneurs, executives, leaders, helping them create a life filled with wealth and joy. And when you talk, I love how you say create a life, because mm-hmm. that really opens everything up to say anything is possible, whatever life they want to create and whatever wealth looks like for them and joy looks like for them, you help them create that.
Yeah, exactly. And how do you define wealth? How do you define success? I mean, obviously, society at large maybe defines it one way, but we each have our own definition of what that means to us. Just helping people on that path, on their journey to become more complete.
Tell us a little bit about the 4-hour work week business, because I really... A 4-hour work week. I really want that.
It's been an amazing ride. In fact, I still own the business and have people run it for me on the side, and I have very little day-to-day involvement. So the 4-hour work week concept was, that term came from a book from Tim Ferriss.
Yes.
It first came out around like 2007. And it was all about creating, most people, they build their life around their business.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, this was, at least for me, the first time where it said, no, you can build the business around your life.
Yeah.
And so I set up the business to be very automated and streamlined. And it took a few years to figure out what product to sell. I mean, I threw a bunch of stuff up on the wall at the time, like 10 years ago, to see what would stick. And we had one particular product line called Headset Buddy, which is a line of like headset accessories and adapters for call centers, DJs, all sorts of different people. And that one took off. And I just kind of rode the coattails of that and grew it and hired people and outsourced it and just tried to get it incredibly lean so I could pursue whatever I was interested in. Sometimes I was interested in business and I wanted to be there, and other times, I started an art gallery during that time, or I wanted to go on maybe my spiritual journey and go to Ecuador and do ayahuasca. So
yeah,
it allowed me the freedom to kind of do that.
And talk about your traveling and how that helps you as a coach.
There's so much that I think that other cultures have as tools or that may be founded in part by their local religions. Mm-hmm. And ayahuasca is a great example of that. I mean, that was born in the Amazon, by basically combining these, somehow the Indians thousands of years ago found that they combined these two plants and get these effects on people. And that's a big part of the culture down there. I mean, the locals will go to these ceremonies on a regular basis. And that's a tool that, is people are more now open to in the U.S. They had a segment on CNN, This Life with Lisa Ling, about ayahuasca, and now people are kind of on this tip. And so I think that's a great example. I mean, obviously, from kind of from Asia, the Buddhist influence over there, which is very grounded in, rather than believing something, it's grounded in experiencing something, which is something... which is a philosophy. I was trained, my undergraduate was in engineering, so I come from a very left brain, logical background. And so I need to be able to experience things in order for me to believe them. And that, and Buddhism has its roots very strongly in that. You practice meditation, you see the benefits.
Right.
Yeah,
that's really cool. That explains too how you approach the business and the spiritual, how you're able to integrate those because of your education and the way your mind thinks. And so you've found a way to integrate your the academic, the intellect, and then your desires, the spiritual piece of having that desire for peace and happiness and joy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny sometimes because sometimes the boundaries are people on both sides, people on the business side, maybe something I heard in my MBA program, you'll also hear on the spiritual side. And I just always, I just love it when there's these two beliefs that I've gotten from these two very different worlds that my clients, myself and my clients can use to grow themselves or, you know, grow their lives. Like my favorite one, I think, the saying we had in business school was what you measure expands. Pay attention to you want to focus on sales or profit or margins or number of customers or whatever it is you want to focus on. Whatever you focus on expands.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, the law of attraction, Abraham Hicks, The Secret. Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. You know, focus on what you want.
Yeah,
I just love how both worlds are speaking to that.
It is. It's true. I tell some of my young clients this. I say in the old days, we called it self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's something that my mom taught me a long time ago. She said, be careful what you think about, because that's what you become. So if you think about a person you don't want to be, you can easily become that person if that's what you're focused on. And so, you know, it's these old adages we're finding today, neuroscience proves them. And you and I were trained under Dr. Gardner. We learned so much of that in the spiritual coaching, how the neuroscience is now proving so much of spirituality and the value of it.
Yeah, we live in an incredible time where science is finally catching up to these things that great masters have known.
Yes.
Whether it's Jesus or Buddha or even Tesla or Einstein. I mean, these people knew and had experienced these things, and finally our mainstream science is kind of catching up to these realities.
Yes, hopefully that helps us in our business, you know, to grow our business, because people are more open to spirituality and to, like you said, experiencing, having new experiences in life. So, okay, Bruce, I know Bruce is here, and I know he wants to ask you some questions. So
come on in, Bruce.
Come on in, Bruce.
Sorry, man. It's all good. I'm learning a lot here.
He's like taking a nap up there. Oh, believe me, he's got some good questions. He's saving up. But I do want to ask about the, you talk about how you use transformative power of meditation, alternative medicine, metaphysics. Talk a little bit about those techniques, how you use those for yourself, and then how you help clients.
Yeah, there's so many different tools, and it's kind of situational dependent. I've developed this kind of general philosophy that I find a lot of people find helpful, and this kind of comes from the spiritual side. When dealing with an issue or trying to overcome an issue or grow oneself, there's three, let's call them knobs, that you can turn to help you in a process. And I see those knobs as awareness, acceptance, and creation. And if you have too much of one or not enough of the other, then that's going to cause some issues. You have too much awareness and not enough acceptance and creation, then you're just going to be annoyed by all the input that you're getting.
Right.
And if you have too much acceptance or not enough awareness or creation, then you're just kind of coasting through life. And I think our society generally places a lot of value on the creation part, which kind of comes from a Judeo-Christian framework. And if you have too much creation, but you're not aware or accepting, then you're creating from a place of ignorance. And so it's about balancing awareness, acceptance, and creation. And the first two of those really, I think, come from Buddhism. And they really influenced philosophy and the creation side comes from, more Judeo-Christian. So that's one of the tools that I use when working with people.
That's cool. I haven't heard it explained that way. I love how you explain that and describe that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to know, what is your most frequently occurring a client? Is it a male or a female? Is it someone in the business world, or is it more of a personal coaching engagement? Tell us a little bit about your modal, most frequently occurring client.
Sure. Yeah, it's a good question. Most of my clients are entrepreneurs or executives. So they've reached a place of success. They're usually in their 30s, maybe sometimes in their 20s, but usually in their 30s where they've had some success in life, but they're also starting to encounter some real challenges. I work with both men and women. I think just the nature of the business world, unfortunately, is such that there are more men. But I do work with both in that regard.
What types of problems are they encountering? You said they may be encountering something.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people I work with, they start out wanting help. They see my business background and like, okay, this guy can relate to me. You know, he's going to be able to help me grow my business. But then most of our discussions wind up being about relationships, either the relationship with themselves or the relationships they have with their partner or maybe their children, or their friends or their community. It's kind of funny. A lot of the calls are either relationship with self or relationship with others. And there's one of my favorite authors who I actually just saw at South by Southwest in Austin a few weeks ago is Esther Perel, and she has this line. She's a couples counselor out of New York, has amazing book and podcast for anyone that's interested in that. She has this quote that says, "The quality of your life is determined by the quality of your relationships." And I think that's really important. I think it speaks to, when people come and I ask them, okay, what do you want to work on today? Generally, what's top of mind is something that's in a relationship.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah. When you set these your clients up, is it like a 90-day minimum, or how do you set up the coaching engagement?
I usually let them kind of determine. I'm on a month-to-month basis, and then I'll ask them, how long do you want this engagement to be for? I usually suggest like a 3 to 6 month engagement. There's no contract though, so they can pull out. But I think a minimum is 3 months is what you need to make lasting change. 90 days is what you really need to make any sort of lasting change. And then 6 months that you can help integrate that change further into one's life. I've personally found, not only working with people, but also in my own personal experiences, after 6 months, there seems to be kind of an asymptote, a law of decreasing marginal utility where they kind of plateau. And I think it's good to take a break. And then once they've kind of struggled a little bit more, to come back and restart the relationship. That's what I usually recommend if people are asking me.
Yeah, that's, I work in the executive world, and that's, spot on. I like what you said about that 6 month plateau, unless there's some sort of, a systemic issue that is ongoing that's out of the person's control or whatever, and they're having to play defense all the time. But yeah, I think that's a good point. Now, are most of your sessions in person, or are they on the phone, or how do you conduct the sessions usually?
All my sessions are by phone. And that was very intentional, because I practice what I preach, and I wanted a life where I would be able to travel and And so I'm able to still maintain coaching even when I'm off doing my own thing.
I noticed, too, that you have your calendar on your website, which I think is great for people to know that that a person can actually go to your website, do a little quiz, do a little bit of personal discovery, and then they could sign up or schedule a complimentary consultation and even schedule sessions there. Is that right?
That's totally right. Yeah, and I love the assessment, and people can go take the assessment. That's free. It's an awareness building tool. And it's kind of based on this concept of the life wheel, which you have all these different areas of your life, and the assessment kind of takes you through those areas to see, okay, you know, maybe this is an area where I'm doing really well, but maybe these are some areas where I'm doing weak. And I give that same assessment to my clients, you know, after a month and a half working with them and at the end of their engagement to see how they've progressed. But yeah, people can go take the assessment, or if they're interested in a complimentary session to see if working with me is a good fit, then they can go ahead and schedule a call right there too.
That's great. You make it easy for them to connect with you, and love that you are a big part of this was you building the business around your life and keeping that balance for yourself. And I love that you're doing that. That really is says a lot about you, and having faith in yourself and faith in the process that it's going to work. And this is the way it works best for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I imagine Bruce and Jenny, you guys feel this as well, but a lot of your coaching, a lot of your coaching strengths come from your own personal experiences and the struggles that you've had. And that's definitely the case with me. I'm on my own journey, and I'm, you know, still, we're all figuring it out, right? I'm still trying to figure it out. Everyone's trying to figure it out. And, and some people are a little ahead, some people a little behind, and that's okay. We're all on different paths, and just trying to help people with where they're at and moving forward. That's the goal, right?
That's the goal. You're practicing it by finding what works for you.
Yeah, we're trying to move the needle. That's what I try and remind people. It's not a black and white situation. Like, one day you're going to be conscious. You know?
Yeah,
today, right? You're conscious. One day you're going to be conscious. It's about moving that needle.
Yeah, it's like, what's one thing you could do today to move that needle?
Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of different options out there. So I'm sure you guys are the same. You can give your clients some ideas, and here are some things you can try and see if anything resonates, and take what you like and leave the rest.
Absolutely.
So that's a 12-step meeting, man. But I keep what I have. I don't share with somebody else. That sounds really good. It sounds like you've really kind of created a model that you're true to yourself, because one of your goals was that you wanted to be able to travel and have a lifestyle that you could do that. And I know Jenny's very active in helping coaches build their clientele and whatnot. I'm kind of curious if you're willing to share some of the things. How have you been able to maintain and sustain a steady book, if you will? I mean, do you engage in any type of marketing practices, or is it just word of mouth, or what mechanisms kind of get you out there that people can find you and participate in your services?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. I'm sure, a question every coach has is how can I get more, get more clients?
And connect with the right ones.
Yeah, exactly. Connecting with the right ones, right? That's important. And kind of getting in the flow, not trying to swim upstream. So for me, what's been working is me putting myself out there, pursuing my own growth and being energized and excited by that process. And I find that, you know, as I'm doing things for my own growth, I meet people who are also on a similar path. and you know, were attracted to each other, let's say. So one example would be South by Southwest that happened in Austin. I went to the interactive part of it and just went to all these sessions, which were just incredibly educational and just, oh man, they were so amazing. And I was meeting people I was sitting next to, or meeting people waiting in line or at the bar or whatever it might be. That's one way. Another example is the yoga studio where I practice. I'm going to be giving a talk there in a few weeks. And they're all people that are kind of struggling with the same questions and the same issues that I have struggled with or currently struggling with. So that's another way that I've had success, is giving talks at places where I can find my people, let's say.
Your people. Love it.
My people, yeah.
Love it. Well, I've thought of some people in Austin that I know that I want to connect you with, so we can talk about that offline. I know Bruce asked this question. So, like, when, you know, people that are listening today, let's say they, they run across someone that might be a good fit for you. It sounds to me like you're looking for the young leaders, entrepreneurs, people that are very ambitious, but they, like you said, they kind of hit a snag. They see that something might be in the way of them having everything that they want in their life. Is that kind of how you would, is that a way to describe the people you love to work with?
Yeah, I think most of the people I work with, and this goes back to Bruce's question, most of the people I work with have reached a level of success. They're doing well, but they're finding what used to work isn't working anymore. In their business and their relationships and their relationship with themselves, which is a big issue a lot of the times. So people that kind of hit a wall and they're saying, okay, what's holding me back? What's missing from this equation? That's the people I like to work with, because they're open and they're hardworking and they're smart and they really want to work on themselves and improve themselves.
You know, in some ways it's similar to the people that I typically work with, or people that have recovered from addiction or mental health issues. And so they've been down the darkest, deepest road and they've survived. And so that says a lot about who they are. They know it takes work to achieve what they want in life. And so they're willing to do the work. And it sounds like similar in a sense with your clients. They're willing to do the work. They just need someone to partner with them to help provoke thought and help them understand what it is they want to create and then how to create it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, and it always blows my mind. I mean, especially with the people you work with, Jenny, how strong we are, you know, as beings. We're so adaptable and so strong. And it really just amazes me when people can do the things and overcome hardships or create, you know, these amazing businesses or whatever it might be. It's incredible.
It is. And, you know, Bruce's clients have a different challenge in that many of his clients are in the public eye. They're very, they could be celebrities, you know, they have lived very public lives. And that's a whole nother challenge, because change those things is everybody's watching.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
Fishbowl.
Well, yeah, or they're in very high profile positions because of the nature of their work puts them in a capacity that they're just in front of a lot of people. And for some, it's both. They're high powered business folks and they're in the media, you know?
And that's becoming well known is not something life really trains you for. Becoming famous or becoming a public figure is not something life really trains you well to do. It kind of learning by fire.
It is.
I actually had one client who recently, she's in the cryptocurrency world and has had, I don't know if you guys pay attention to cryptocurrency,
yeah,
but she's had a lot of success. And all of a sudden, just in the last year or two, I mean, she's getting requests for books and talks and, you know, requests to fly to Amsterdam and to this state, and all over the world. And one of the things I had to help her with was kind of that, okay, let's figure out what's the most important and what you really want, because you can't say yes to everything. So you got to figure out what you want to say no to. And I imagine, Bruce, that's a lot of your clients as well, is just, yeah, helping them focus on boundaries and helping them focus on when to say no. So many opportunities.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because a lot of these clients are driven by metrics and analytics, and they have to have a book of business, and they have to, deliver by year end, and so much for sales, so much delivery. And so for some of these folks, it's an ongoing, never-ending pressure cooker, you know. They choose to stay in there. And a lot of my clients work for organizations that believe in what's called a work-life fit, not a work-life balance.
And they're very I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they're very clear that you'll work 23 hours a day and sleep one. And they're very clear.
Yeah.
Very clear.
And you can do 23 plus 1.
Yeah, I love the clarity, though. I was in a paramilitary organization for 25 years, and I lived that dream. So,
live the dream, yeah.
Yeah. At least I have a pension and something to Blue Cross for a while. But now that I'm doing this, I can kind of, you know, parade around. And
you could travel with Brian now.
Yeah, and say F-bomb. I'm the anti mindfulness guy. I'm dropping F-bomb. So, teaching them how to kind of survive that world, and still—and I'm not saying that, but I mean, still carve out time for family, still carve out time for the relationships, because you're right, Brian. I mean, you're only as happy as your relationships, and if they've really compromised loved ones and family at the service of money, sooner or later that stuff catches up to you. You know what I mean? It's like squeezing the latex balloon with the water, and just which one's going to pop out? You know, which finger's going to go? And so then we kind of reverse, you know, once we get the metrics covered, kind of reverse and backfill with personal time, family time, mental health time, and then get them into a work hygiene pattern that they can notify their supervisors and their staff, I'm going to be going here to here, and you guys are just going to have to take a leadership mindset and run this deal one out, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been an interesting time dealing with some of the folks that I seem to get. You know what I mean? I don't get these 30-year-olds. I mean, a lot of my people are. I wish I had a 30-year-old, but they're usually a failure to launch, kids still playing Xbox, smoking weed, and living in their mom's basement. But
it's we all have problems. It's just a different set of problems.
Yeah, right. challenges.
I got this bimodal failure to launch, and then the super overachiever. So I don't really have anybody in.
Yeah. You're right. It's a different challenge, just depending on depending on what we choose.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. It's always a challenge. Even as coaches, it's a challenge to sometimes it's feast or famine. I know Jenny was so busy that a week made me do the show by myself.
Bless his heart. He had to do the show by himself. He did just great, Brian.
That's okay. 3 weeks before that, I was a host on her and didn't show. But anyway.
It's in Belgium.
That's right.
Oh, no, Zurich.
Something, yeah, and that's right. It was Zurich, but yeah. That's really good. Sounds like you have you built a really good practice, and sounds like it's working for you. And that's one thing I love about you and Jenny trained together, went through the same school together, but yet you guys are seemingly different. You know what I mean, in terms of people in your practice and the way, or the sense that I feel about you guys' coaching practice. So it's always fun to see how 100 people can kind of go through, you know, let's say the Gardner Institute or whatever, but then there'll be 95 different coaching styles emerging.
I know, and the niche.
Do that. Yeah.
Well, and when I read about Brian, when I read, you know, how you'd refine, as you would refine your niche, I was like, wow. I mean, I'm sure they're out there. I just don't know another coach that is really focused on leadership for young entrepreneur executives, with respect to the spiritual and the physical world, you know, that we live in today. And so, you know, Jane, Dr. Gardner talks about that a lot. We live in the physical world, but we're spiritual beings, and both have to be integrated. And we all do that in different ways, which is why you offer these different techniques depending on your client.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, and I see spirituality sometimes has a negative connotation, or it scares people away. But really, spirituality is just working on oneself. That's how I see it anyway. It's becoming it's becoming closer to your true or authentic self. Mm-hmm. And the people I talk to, I mean, they're obviously very, you know, left brain, very business minded, sometimes very technical, but they get it. They get it when they start to have, you know, those inklings of emotional awareness, or can feel the anger rising up in them at their children or at their partner or whatever it might be. They understand, oh, I'm increasing my awareness, right? And that's and it's that's a beautiful thing about a lot of spirituality, is that it can be so experiential, and you don't have to believe anyone. Just go out there and try it yourself. And over time, you'll definitely notice a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think in the Bible Belt where we live, and you're in Austin, and Bruce and I live in the Dallas area, you know, spirituality is at least traditionally was seen as something outside of ourselves. Whereas today, that perspective has broadened. And it feels like it to me anyway, and it's changed. I mean, I was raised a preacher's kid, so it doesn't get any more Bible Belt than that. And I really have definitely broadened and increased my understanding of spirituality. It's totally different today than it was even 10 years ago. So keep up the great work. You're doing such a great job with your message and your life experience. And I'm here to help and support any way I can, connect you with some people I know in Austin. I know you have a lot of good contacts down there too. And then people up here too in Dallas.
I work with everyone around the world. I mean, people in the Ukraine, people in Germany, California, Texas. So, and that's the beautiful thing about doing everything by phone, is that I can work with anyone anywhere.
Yeah, great point. Great point.
Yeah, I don't live in the Bible Belt, but I live in the Libel Belt here in Dallas. It's the Libel Belt.
That's a scary belt.
It is.
It's a scary one. It used to be the Bible Belt. I don't know if it is anymore, but.
But it is funny, you know. That's not, but that ever emerging and changing definition of spirituality. You know, people say, "I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual." What does it mean to you? You know what I mean? Is that a power greater than yourself? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. That will restore you to something, or is that something else? Is that, like you said, getting closer to your core, right? Mm-hmm. And what is that core? Is that core? Mm-hmm. What you make it to be, or is that core also some, you know, there's a supernatural component to that. So it is kind of fun to explore that.
And there's a lot of good stuff in almost every major religion. And one that I recently was thinking about is obviously in like Christianity, saying the blessing before a meal has always, you know, traditionally that was something you did. And I think we've kind of, at least definitely, let's say my generation, the millennials, have kind of moved away from that. And I think we moved away from it because we forgot why we were doing it. And actually practicing that little moment of gratitude before you eat, that's all it is.
Yeah.
If you practice just a moment of gratitude to be thankful that you have, it's incredible you have this food that you're able to eat, and it's going to taste good and it's healthy, or, and it's going to fill you and it's going to nourish you. Having that gratitude, I mean, scientifically now they've proven that actually does nourish you more. And so there's a lot of old traditions that maybe were grounded in religions. If we forgot why we were doing them, that kind of the newer leading edge of science is now showing, oh, this is why we were doing that.
That's a good point. Boy, you're just going to have to come back on the show. You have all kinds of good tidbits for us.
I got too much. Yeah, no, I'm really appreciative that I got to speak with you guys today.
Seriously.
I love sharing. So
I love it. Well, we don't have to go anywhere, Bruce. We can just let Brian travel, and then he can come back and share all this stuff with us. Except we don't experience it. That's the downside.
That's right. Well, that sounds really good. We got a good, healthy 5 minutes before we have to wrap up the show. So, Brian, you want to tell our listeners how they can, the different touch points that you have that our listeners can contact you, social media, telephone, email, what do you have to share in that regard?
Sure. The best way to contact me is through my website, briandaigle.com. That's briandaigle.com. From there, you can email me, you can call me, you can schedule an appointment, you can take the assessment and get a little bit more background on me to see if there's, you know, potentially a good fit there or not. So that's probably the best way for people to contact me is through the website.
Fantastic. And also, you can let folks know that shortly after the show today, they'll be able to click a link, and Jenny and or I can send you over a link that player will pop up for this particular show from LA Talk Radio. And then it will be archived on the Concierge Coaches Show page on LA Talk Radio. And they'll be able to click on today's date, and the show will come up here in about a week or so. There'll be a show summary attached to it, and we can add a backlink to your website, Brian, and that'll go let our listeners go directly to your site. And another thing that probably not any other coaching show does, but we have we're now on iTunes, and Jenny and I have it set up that people can download our podcast for free. And so they'll be able to find your name on the info. They just click the I, and your name will come up. And yet again, that'll be another great exposure point for you with a backlink to your site through iTunes.
Do South by Southwest, but we have iTunes.
Oh, baby, we're the show that keeps on giving. We're going to have iHeart here in a minute. I've been wrestling with that, but I do drop an F-bomb here and there, so I'm keeping iHeart at bay. But anyway, there you go. There'll be some things there for your coaching practice, and it's always really good. And here on the, you know, Concierge Coaching Show, we're all about bringing on folks like yourself to talk about your practice and how you do it. And you, sir, are you uniquely you? I mean, I'm getting a feel for it, and your practice, you know, is a collection of your morals, values, beliefs, and worldview. And I can see that playing out real well for you in your coaching practice. So, awesome. I'm glad you're able to come on the show today.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jenny and Bruce. Really appreciate the opportunity, and yeah, just enjoyed speaking with you guys.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, folks, another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show. Great guests. Always good to hear what folks are going on, particularly with executives and
young leaders.
World. Young leaders. Emerging
leaders.
Emerging leaders out of their mom's basement smoking.
No, stop.
Right. Anyway, nothing like that. But yeah, true emerging leaders that are out there. So, and folks, come on back next week to our show and listen. We'll have some exciting guests here. I know in the next 2 weeks we're going to have having a stellar lineup as always. And don't forget to visit us on social media, on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show. And Jenny, how can folks reach you?
It's jhubconsulting.com, and that's J-H-U-B consulting.com.
Awesome. And I can be reached at concierge.us. Ooh, can I say it? Concierge Coach. There it is. Conciergecoach.net. That's me. So, All right, then. Well, y'all take care. Have a great week. We'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Jenny Hubby, only on LA Talk Radio.